Okay, since here's everyone's here, we'll go ahead and get started with the work session. First thing we want to do is we're going to do an invocation, but we're going to stand. We lost a firefighter in North Carolina this week, and we're going to have a moment of silence, if that's okay. And I'll close this with prayer. Sorry, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for this day. We thank you for bringing all these people together to discuss this very important business. We pray, dear God, for guidance. We pray for guidance for everyone making the decision, guidance for those in the crowd. Dear God, we just pray that you would help us to make the right decisions for all the citizens of Wake County. And dear Lord, we just pray that you would just bless our communities and protect our communities while we're all gathered here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I think it's good to set the course of the agenda for today. So I think how we're going to do this is we're going to have our questions that we're going to do something with. You're going to present with the information. So we'll some of the questions that were presented to the commission that we have information presented by Director Camposano. We'll have our discussion, and we'll close with a time of presentation by Fairview and Garner, if they so choose. Is that agreeable? Okay. So, Director Camposano.
Good evening. My name is Nick Camposano. I'm the Director of Fire Services for Wake County. I thought I would start off this evening by just reviewing some of the outstanding questions, some of the information that needs clarified. So I will start at the beginning. Start with a brief timeline of how we came to be here this evening. In March of 2017, Wake County Fire Services was approached with a proposal from the Fuquay Varina Fire Department and the Garner Fire Department to look at partnering with them for a co-located station. And co-located means there would be two fire departments cohabitating the same facility. In March and April of that same year, I met with Director Chris Pierce from the Fairview Fire Department, and one of my deputy directors and I met at a budget hearing privately with Chief Spain to let him know that we had received a proposal and we were going to be examining the possibility and what that alternative could result in. When I spoke with Chief Pierce, talked about that, encouraged him to see if he could open up some dialogue with the Swift Creek Fire Department to start working out some cooperative measures that we could create a stronger fire department in that region. As we worked through the process, the town of Fuquay said that they were interested in this project. However, they had some higher priority stations, a single station that they needed that was of a higher priority than this particular one. They wanted, however, to be involved in the planning, and they wanted to have the ability to co-locate, either by designing the station for expansion or actually constructing it for expansion that they would then co-locate later on. Wake County EMS also maintains a list of areas around the county where permanent 24-hour ALS units are needed. This particular area, the 401-1010 corridor, met that list. It was on an area, a list. In fact, I think in Fairview, there were some postings at times. So there was a need there. So Wake County EMS said, if this station is going to be built, we would want to co-locate there. We would want to have an ALS unit. In July, we brought the proposal to the Fire Commission, and it was my hope to get a quick, yeah, this is a good plan, no, it's not a good plan, and then embark on what would be a rather lengthy vetting process, multi-year process to work that plan to fruition. I had a sense of urgency at the time because we felt the town of Garner needed to have some direction, and I felt that by bringing it to the Fire Commission, we could get an answer for the town, to give them some direction on where to go. In hindsight, bringing it to the Fire Commission, when we did, was premature. It was never our intention to cause this level of anxiety. So this evening, I'm going to be recommending that we slow this process down. I would like to provide time to engage with the residents, also to engage with the board of directors from the Fairview Fire Department to see if there is alternatives, things we haven't talked about. But I still want to emphasize we're in the very early stages of what is a long process. So with that said, there are some items that I would like to go over. There has been some discussion on why we chose to use NFPA 1720 as a standard. If you had been to the community meeting, you have seen the differences, 1710, 1720. They are put out by their national consensus standards by the National Fire Protection Association, and they are guidance on staffing and deployment standards for fire departments. Some communities adopt these standards by ordinance. Others just use them as best practices. NFPA 1720 was adopted as the guiding document for staffing and deployment in Wake County by the Wake County Fire Commissioners last year. We also looked at ISO. ISO, the Insurance Services Office, gives your ratings, but it's also used by the Department of Insurance to set limits as to how large a fire district is, what is the maximum travel distances from a station within that district. We also analyzed workload capacity. When we looked at the proposal, we looked at the Garner Fire Department, we looked at how often they have multiple calls, second calls, third calls. At the community meeting, there was some discussion that was our headline from an earlier newspaper where the Garner Fire Department was saying that we have 2 calls 1,000 times a year. And it's true. When you look at there, what we call concurrency, it's right around that number. But the Garner Fire Department didn't just stop and say, well, we go to 2 calls, we have 2 calls back to back 1,000 times a year. They hired 9 new firefighters. They recognized the capacity need and they met it. We also looked at the unit workload. We take how many possible minutes there are in a year, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, how many possible minutes are available for a piece of apparatus to respond. And then we looked at all of the time that is consumed on emergency calls. Both the Garner Fire Department as well as the Fairview Fire Department have very low unit commitment times. Now we take into account that there are training times, there are other things that take up a fire department's day. But in looking at emergency calls, there is more than enough capacity for the Garner Fire Department to pick up a portion or half, if we want to just use a number, of the Fairview Fire Department's workload. We also looked at a fiscal analysis. We looked at the costs of various models, keeping the Fairview station open, closing the Fairview station. Capital cost analysis was not done, as we need to work out how a cost share would be arranged. There are construction costs that haven't been fleshed out. So the capital cost piece, which there was a question in our July meeting, has not been fleshed out. So when we looked at the two, 1710 versus 1720, 1710 is designed for career fire departments. These are urban fire departments, similar to the Raleigh Fire Department. It establishes first due travel times, as you can see there, 4 minutes, 90% of the time, and then a full assignment assembly time at 8 minutes, 90% of the time. For NFPA 1720, this is designed for volunteer and or combination fire departments. And I'll talk about what that means in a second. But this is designed for areas that are not urban. They're rural in nature, they're suburban in nature. In some areas they have high percentages where there's no population at all. These set up density demand zones, and as you can see here, the top one, an urban area would be considered a space where we have more than 1,000 people per square mile. Suburban, between 500 and 1,000 people per square mile. And then rural, less than 500 people per square mile. And then they designate assembly times. And what they say is that they want to have assembled, ready to start some action, within 9 minutes in the urban area, 10 minutes in the suburban area, and 14 minutes in the rural. And then you see the percentage. There is no 100% of the time. NFPA recognizes that you're never going to hit a response time 100% of the time. So that's why you see the 90%, the 80%, and the 80%. So in doing this analysis, prior to asking the Fire Commission last year to adopt NFPA 1720, we took each of the fire districts and we broke it down by census blocks to determine the density in each particular area. And the colors that you see there represent those densities. So you have your peach color, which represents the rural areas. The blue is suburban. And then the green would be considered urban. We then went and we listed the percentage of each of those areas for each of the fire districts. And in yellow there, you can see highlighted, that's the Fairview Fire or the 1010 Insurance District. There's 7.17% of the area that has no one. 32.76% is rural, less than 500 people per square mile. 42.05% suburban, and 18.01% considered urban. The density average, the urban density average was 8.1%. The middle point was 6.11%. When you look at this, it is overwhelmingly clear that rural Wake County is just that. It's rural and suburban in nature. It is not urban. So we look at the density characteristics. We also look at the fire department classifications. For NFPA 1720, they're looking at volunteer and combination departments. The classification is if you have 85% or more career firefighters, you're considered a career department. If you have 85% or more volunteers making up your department, you are considered volunteer. If you don't meet any of those two extremes, you're considered a combination. Here in Wake County, all our fire tax district fire departments are considered combination departments, with the exception of Western Wake and Swift Creek, which are considered volunteer. At the July 17th meeting, there was a request to do a parcel-by-parcel analysis. Fire departments do not perform parcel-by-parcel analysis for station locations. That is the purpose for the adopted standards, the response standards. Those are utilized to determine conformance. And that's specifically why they give what they call fractile response rates, when you saw that 80%, because they know that you will not meet a response time 100% of the time. It's an 80% threshold. But we performed that parcel-by-parcel analysis. We developed travel times using our GIS system. And this, we have a department that does that. They created travel time along the center line of a road in 30-second increments. And then they set a buffer up that would grab the parcels on either side of that road along that same time. There were 18 data sets developed, one per department per 30-second increment. And those spreadsheets were then combined and compared at 30-second increments to flesh out the parcels that were covered within that time frame. We started off with a data set of 3,823 parcels. We removed municipal parcels, which were 444. The request was that it would only be parcels in the unincorporated area. And then we removed unoccupied parcels, cemeteries, areas where there are no living units. There are no occupants, I should say. So of the parcels, and I believe, let me just go back one, just to pull out that number. 2469 was the data set that we analyzed. And so you can see there, those parcels experience an increase in response time, 1722, a decrease in response time, 487. And that 260 that you see in the zero column, those are the parcels that experience neither an increase or a decrease. So the chart shows you in blue the number of parcels that in 30-second increments would experience an increase in response time, and those parcels that you see in the gold color that would experience a reduction in response time. We also put together an analysis of ALS response unit and ladder truck response. We started with 4 minutes and in 30-second increments looked at how many parcels that are not covered at that time by that particular asset or resource would be covered. We utilized paramedic units that are currently stationed to carry Station 6, Fuquay Marina Station 2, Garner Stations 2 and 3. Those are the four closest ALS units to the Fairview District, Station 2 District. And then for the fire service ladder truck, we utilized Carry Station 6, which is the carry station located on 1010 and Kildare Farm Road, just down the street from, about a mile from Station 1, Fairview Station 1. So again, this chart at 4 minutes, there are 661 parcels that would be covered by an ALS paramedic from that proposed station location that would not be covered otherwise. 682 parcels that would receive an aerial device arriving within 4 minutes that would otherwise not have that. And that's how the rest of the chart goes up to the 7.5 minutes. Many of you may have passed these two stations on your way here this evening. And I just want to point out analysis by standard. When the Raleigh Fire Department was planning their new Station 12, the station that is on the left is the existing station. There's a circle around it that was closed last week. And the one to the right, next to the transit building, was just opened last week. If we use that belt line as a midpoint. Everything to the left, all of those developments around that old station, the old Station 12, will experience an increase in response time. When I asked Chief McGrath about that, and I said, do you do a parcel by parcel analysis? He said, no, we use a standard. And if all of our residents and occupancies are met by that response vehicle within that standard, then it's an okay location. He said, why would you do a parcel by parcel analysis? That's why the standards give you the percentages. He said, if you don't have percentages, firefighters can never leave the building. When the Fairview firefighters from Station 2 go across the street to the Food Lion or to have lunch, you're all going to experience that reduction in response times. It's a percentage. So I want to emphasize that all of the parcels met NFPA 1720 response times. There has been some discussion of the Caddy Road U-turn. As we were working with the fire departments, we were made aware that there was super street construction being planned. And in fact, it was actually in progress. They were further down, further north. And I believe it's complete now. When we were first told that, our assumption was, well, the fire truck's going to come out, it'll go right over the median, and it'll make a left. I heard they do that in other areas up in the Roseville area. Well, we have a former DOT engineer who works for us on staff. He's our logistics officer. He reached out to his counterparts at NCDOT to explain that this site was being proposed for a fire station. His response was, when you put in your driveway permit, request that that median is lowered. Very similar, if you are familiar with the NC55 Super Street area at the intersection of Holly Springs Road. You're coming off of Holly Springs Road and you get to 55, you can cross as an emergency apparatus, you can cross that median because it's depressed to about 2 inches rather than 4 inches. If we were not told that, that was a showstopper. That would have changed response times dramatically. But based on that information, that we can make a left turn off of Caddy Road, the response times that we ran are accurate. There was also a document circulated about a station closure criteria and that we, as the fire services, did not follow that. That document was pulled from the 2005 long-range business plan, and in context with that closure, we were looking at, or they were, it was before my time, they were looking at these five stations, the Bayleaf Station 3, Falls, Wake New Hope, and Western Wake Stations 1 and 2. These particular stations serve an area that is very small, and in almost all cases, the fire department has to drive through the city of Raleigh in order to get to them. Those are what we call the donut holes. This criteria was specifically designed for those stations. The 2009 long-range plan actually spelled that out. Just above those five stations, it states the adopted long-range business plan identifies five fire stations as candidates for service replacement evaluation. Then highlighted in red there at the bottom, the business plan contains the criteria to be used in the evaluation of whether to close a station and replace with fire protection service from either Cary Fire Department or Raleigh Fire Department. However, the business plan does not provide criteria for screening other fire stations to add to the the list for future station closures. This long-range plan expired in 2015. But I just want to stress, that criteria that was distributed is taken out of context. I just want to give everyone kind of an overview of what Fairview and Swift Creek Fire Department face going into the future. That circle is around the Fairview Fire Department and the Swift Creek Fire Department. Fairview in orange, Swift Creek in that peach color. Anything in gray is municipal property. From Raleigh, Cary, Apex, Garner. Starting at the left, the green, which is Hypex, the rural area for Apex, working all the way down through the Holly Springs rural area, Fuquay Varina rural area, the Garner rural area. The inevitability of that district in the center shrinking is there. And I think what we want to try to do is position those two fire departments in a position of strength for when that growth maximizes and comes together. So what's next? I would recommend to the Fire Commission that we begin and schedule stakeholder community engagement meetings. And I think at a smaller, lower level, particular neighborhoods, developments, homeowners associations, set up meetings of fire department, municipal, and county stakeholders. Continue to develop a complete cost estimate with budgetary impacts. Although that criteria is no longer applicable, if it is the will of the Fire Commission to send the proposals to the various subcommittees, we would do that. We would look at the impact of that proposed station, which would be, if at its earliest, between 2 to 3 years on the horizon. So we would have to look at all of those contingencies, those possibilities to present back to the Fire Commission. Any cost sharing of proposed station would have to be considered as part of an annual budget process. And the county commissioners will not be taking any action on facility closure. This will be a very long process with no action by the county commissioners in the very near future, in the near or even distance future. So, Mr. Chairman, that's all I have for this, if you'd like to continue.
Can we ask a question? Sir, can I ask a question? I'd like to know when
Ma'am, there is no public comment in this, so this is going to be a discussion amongst, a work session amongst the fire commission.
But we're the people that live there. We can't ask care. When this
the
study
was done. Is this a democracy or not?
We can't hear you.
If you're looking at this as far as the time's not immediate, the long range where it's kind of vague as far as the time frame is concerned, with this being like 3 or 4 years out, when do you think this will be resolved? It's not going away, so what is the time frame for either us to review it or the Board of County Commissioners? What are we looking at as far as your recommendation for that?
I don't think it would be prudent to set a date. I think we need to work the process through, and which, however long that takes, let that guide the decision time.
So would that have any impact? I know it's going out of it, but would that have any impact on the relationship that we would have as far as the
question in relation to, we were talking about growth on there. In the area you're talking about, Nick, is how much growth? It says on some of the stuff that we get 63 new residents each day here in White County, is that right? It's all areas of White County are growing, but how much of that growth falls into municipal annexations and not into the rural area? So it says on here that 3,261 acres were annexed out of White County into municipal areas in 2017, Apex being the top one, Fuquay being the next highest, which is right next door to the area. So I'm wondering, in the growth in those areas, how much is actually being annexed into the municipal area and not remaining in the county? Is that something we can find out?
We can find out.
Okay.
Based on planning information that we have, the majority
of them
incorporated.
Okay. So it would be safe to say that the growth primarily falls into the municipal area.
So if I could ask Garner, Garner, manager,
yes.
Is there a municipal agreement line where Fuquay and so Garner can annex to here and Fuquay can annex to here that it
yes.
is?
We do have a boundary. I'm Roger Dickerson, town manager for the town of Garner. We do have a boundary agreement with Fuquay. We do have a municipal boundary agreement with Fuquay that's been in place for a number of years. That's typical for a lot of municipalities that where we kind of intersect and are growing into an area, and that area is right at just 1010 Road area. So if you're at 1010, you know, if you're at the Food Lion, you're in Garner's jurisdiction. And if you go across the street, I think Wendy's or whatever, that would be in Fuquay's Road area, long range road area.
Okay, thank you very much.
Do we know if the Enterprise Committee Flint was approved?
Purchase.
Yes, sir. Have both municipalities extended their ETJA to the maximum allowable 3 miles?
John Hodges, town manager of the town of Garner. We've recently done an expansion of our ETJ, but not to the maximum allowed. We extended it a year and a half ago, and it does reach into this area some, but it is not to the maximum.
Kind of people agreeing is going through that same process right now. We have extended anything.
I'm sorry, sir.
Excuse me. Can you be in the back? Can you hear okay?
We can hear.
No. Okay. No. Just make sure that we pass the microphone if we could so everybody in the room can hear.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Capasano, one of the topics that was sort of frequently mentioned in a lot of the emails that I received had to do with ISO ratings. And I was wondering if you might unpack that a little bit, talk about what they are, when ISO reviews are likely to occur, and ultimately what the impact will be on residential and non-residential parcels. And if you could give us a sense as to how many parcels are in each category and what the impact would be, I think that'd be helpful.
Sure, I would have to refer to my deputy on the frequency, but I'll address the first area there. There are a total of 3,036 approximate parcels that would be moving from the Fairview Fire Department's ISO rating of 3 to the Garner Fire Department's rating of 4. That rating scale starts with a 10, which is the worst, which is basically no fire protection, to a 1, which is the best. At a rating of 5, residential homeowners receive the largest reduction in premiums that they will get. So 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1, residential homeowners would not see a decrease in their premiums. Residential, vacant, forestry, all of those parcels, there were 2,854 parcels that would not see a change in their ISO rating or premium. There were 153 HOA cemetery exempt parcels, of which 10 were churches. The 10 churches would, their premiums would be affected by the ISO change. And there were 29 commercial industrial. So there were a total of 39 parcels of the 3,036 that could see a premium change. In our discussions with some insurance agents,
On the church side, it really depended on the cycle. Most churches are rated by insurance companies every 3 years. So if it had been a church that was just rated just before the change, it could be 3 years before that is looked at again. And if the Garner Fire Department had improved their rating, there wouldn't be a change. The premium increase, because it's a very small 3-4 change, they estimated about a 1.6%. So on a $2,500 fire premium, it's about a $40 premium increase.
Mr. Clapper, in regards to your question, the ISO ratings occur about every 5 years, depending if they're on schedule or not. With a district change, typically, ISO reverts to the department that is getting the district's insurance grade and gives them a year to 2 years to collect their data, do their training, do their performance stuff to get ready for a regrade.
As far as what the actual evaluations are for, you know, whether it's hydrogen or what they actually, the ISO folks, look for in the fire department.
Yes, sir, Mr. Stagg. The fire departments are rated on many different things. And Fairview got a grade of a 3, has been advertised and bragged upon, and that is a very good grade. There's only around 30-some departments in the state of North Carolina that have a ISO grade of 3 for a combination department. They were a 70.30, so it's not a whole lot of room for wiggle before they would fall to a 4. It could absolutely be something out of their control as the grading with the 911 center falter a little bit to put them back to a ISO grade of 4. But fire departments are graded again on 911 center, emergency communication, the call takers, telecommunicators. For the fire departments, they get a fire flow that is picked, so that determines the number of engine companies that need to go, so they have to have those engine companies, have them tested as appropriate. They get credit for reserve pumpers. They get credit for ladder trucks, service trucks. There's also a deployment analysis. ISO uses roughly 6 people per engine company for max credit. So if Fairview has a 2 engine need for their district, so 12 people would need to be on that call for max credit, and it kind of goes from there. They give a third of a person credit for every volunteer that responds. Training, they get credit for keeping good training records, not only keeping good training records, but performing training with their mutual aid partners. Water system for Fairview, and I think all the fire chiefs in this room will agree, you are completely dependent upon your neighbors for your water supply and their tanker shuttle. If you don't have your own hydrant that you can hook to, your grade is determined by the water shuttle that's provided from your mutual aid departments. If you're, all the Wake County departments are on automatic aid, so if and I'm gonna just use Apex for instance, if Apex Fire Department has a structure fire and they're dispatched, Marshall's dispatched along with them in Cary, on the initial dispatch, they get to use the credit of those personnel coming as long as it's on the initial dispatch.
Thank you.
So if I could ask Chief Spain, if I could ask a good question. In relation, what is the leading cause of structure fires in Fairview District? And if you don't have this, I'm sorry, we can address this later. This was not planned. I'm not trying to.
Accidental?
Okay. I'm just trying to get a correlation as to leading cause of structure fire, fire contained to, looking for the outcomes of structure fires, and then we'll correlate that with travel distance to get an idea of response times to outcomes. And that'll be something that we can work on in the future as we go through this process, because I think it's a very important feature here, because whenever we talk about travel times, let's talk about the outcomes and the results that we have experienced as a predictor of the future.
Multiple fires occurring on the south side in a home is when the storms come through.
Yeah. So he said he referenced the storms that come through, and we end up, and I can vouch for this. We do have multiple fires
with a good lightning storm, unfortunately.
What did it say?
Anyone else have any? Sir.
I think this is great because the community engagement is a key part of it, to keep the people engaged and what our plans are. I had a question about the coverage. I see, like you said, 3036 parcels are moving from Fairview, right? So will they all have the same kind of coverage as far as the call volumes, or in terms of moving the fire station, is the time to cover those areas in urban, suburban, and rural areas, does it shift by any means?
The coverage to the NFPA 1720 standard does not change. All of those parcels are covered under that standard and those response times for those density demand zones.
We've allowed Fairview and Garner both the opportunity to present a 10-minute presentation. So
did you want to work through the questions?
Yeah. Has everyone on the commission had a chance to read through the questions? Given these things in advance, that we would develop questions for this particular meeting. If the questions were answered in the body of the document, if anybody has a question related to anything, this is the time.
The staffing and deployment study that we completed was finished last year, was adopted in April 2017.
Okay, so at this time, if we don't have any questions on our handout with the responses to questions, we also, just for notice, we also did receive some additional information from Fairview related to these questions as well. So we've read through those. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to, I think, Ed Brinson. You're going to speak for Fairview.
Yes, sir.
Members of the commission, Mr. Calabria, Ms. Rogers, good to see you again. Staff, my name is Ed Brinson. I'm a board member and retired fire chief of the Fairview Fire Department. I'm also a citizen of the Fairview Fire District. Just for some clarification, I'm the department spokesman tonight, and I'm speaking for and on behalf of President John Mazur, who's been called away on urgent matters out of state. President Mazur asked that I speak on behalf of all matters concerning the Fairview Fire Department and the fire station closure until he returns. My first order of business that I submit to you is my presentation from the July 19, 2018 meeting, and I ask that it be recorded in the official minutes of the July 19th meeting. I have one addendum to the presentation that will substitute the language of one paragraph regarding a vote of the Board of Directors regarding insurance district maps. I stand corrected. I misspoke. That addendum is in the package, and I have given that to Chairman McGee. Since the last Fire Commission meeting, the citizens of Fairview have organized and banded together and held a community meeting and discussed the closure of Fire Station 2. Other actions have been taken using social media sites protesting the closure of Station 2. One hard signature and one electronic signature petition circulated by the citizens that were served by the Fairview community generated over 1,371 signatures in opposition to the closure of Station 2.
Here, here.
The citizens of this please let me finish the presentation so that you won't be asked to leave. The citizens and business owners, church members, and other community leaders have spoken. Many of them are here tonight to show their opposition to the closure of Fire Station 2. It is also the position of the Board of Directors of the Fairview Fire Department that Station 2 should not be closed. Last year, Station 2 responded to 1,046 emergency calls, 870 in their respective fire district, and 176 calls for mutual aid calls to the departments that surround the Station 2 primary response area. In 1994, Gordon Rowley of Tri-Data Specialists conducted a fire protection needs study for Wake County. Rowley is considered one of the nation's leading fire service experts. Ironically, the first meeting to address that study was held at Fairview Fire Station 1 in 1995, and I was attended that meeting. And in no time was there a recommendation that Fairview Station 2 needed to be closed. Moreover, in every study since that date, there has been no recommendations that Fairview Station be closed. At the July 19th Fire Commission meeting, Director Capisano stated closing Fairview Fire Station 2 and opening Garner Fire Station 5 would save $157,000 in the fire tax dollars. $157,000 out of a $27,528,000 budget equates to a savings of 0.57% of the total fire tax budget. The savings is just over 0.5%. To reduce the level of critical fire protection and life-saving services to the citizens of the Fairview community is an effort to save, $157,000 is absurd. I would be willing to bet before this matter before you tonight is resolved, there will be more than $157,000 in fire tax money wasted on county staff time, Fairview Fire Department time, and the time that the members of the Fairview Commission, the Fire Commission, debating the closure that provides a high level of service to a fire station that serves the members of our community. A point of clarification is needed. No fire tax dollars have been spent on a mailer that was sent out to our citizens for the printing and distribution of flyers notifying our citizens for the proposal by county staff to close Fire Station 2. All of these costs were paid for by the citizens of our community. Members of the Fire Commission, you have seen the response and financial models and data from Director Capisano that purports the closing of Fire Station 2 is the right thing to do. However, sitting in an office in downtown Raleigh, creating response models and time calculations does not tell the true story of a fire insurance district and close to station responses. The computer modeling does not tell you about the horrendous traffic backups where people sit through average of 5 to 8 traffic-like cycles that occurs at the Highway 401 and 1010 Road intersection during the morning and evening commutes during the business week. The computer modeling does not tell you about the citizens, their homes, and the mega homes that range up to 13,000 square feet in our district. Driveways that are narrow or over 1,500 feet long that impede emergency access. The computer model does not tell you that this is a rural fire district. Without fire hydrants every 500 to 1,000 feet. Let me tell you about my model. The time standing in the street smarts model. the talking with the citizens model about their special needs child, husband, wife, or parent, the actual life-saving model. The model that I, with the help of past Fairview Fire Chief Mickey Buffalo and others, developed over a 15-year period as the Fire Chief of the Swift Creek and Fairview Fire Department. This model includes real-life pre-incident surveys and developing worst-case scenarios, emergency plans for all types of weather for the protection of the citizens of both fire districts. Driving and walking with measuring tapes and wheels on every street and driveway, leading to the homes of our residents to make sure we had enough hose on our trucks to reach people's houses from the roadways, calculating the amount of water needed, i.e. fire flows for room and contents fire to full involvement. In addition, both the Fairview and Swift Creek Fire Departments exercise the water haul capabilities in these areas, and I know the water haul needs in this area firsthand. As an example, the last house in the Enchanted Oak subdivision is over 4.8 miles from Fairview Station 2, 5.6 miles from Caddy Road, which is the site of proposed Garner Fire Station 5. Travel times in perfect weather conditions and no traffic ranges from 9 minutes for Fairview Station 2 and 11 minutes from Caddy Road to those homes in the Enchanted Oak subdivision, and the times are based on posted road and street speed limits. The closest water points to fill tankers from the furthest point in Enchanted Oaks is a 21-minute round-trip trip. And fill time per tanker hauling water at the posted speed limit is in the very best of weather and traffic conditions. It takes a minimum of 4 tankers to maintain a 250-gallon-a-minute fire flow for the smallest of structure fires in the back of Enchanted Oaks, and up to an additional 8 tankers for fire flows approaching a 1,000-gallon-per-minute fire flow for larger fires. Members of the Fire Commission, the inner areas of our fire district are growing to large homes and on septic tanks and wells, and they do not require or want municipal services. We lost part of our water supply capability when staff took a minimalist approach to fire protection and sent a 2,000-gallon tanker from Swift Creek to the Bayleaf area, leaving us with 3 tankers rather than 4 to protect the areas of our district on the initial dispatch of a reported structure fire. Now there's a proposal on your table to take another tanker, and with all probability, all the fire apparatus from Fairview Station 2, and move it further away from the core protection area of the Fairview and Swift Creek joint response areas. Director Campisano and members of the Fire Commission, the proposed Garner Station 5 may be closer to some of the district parcels in the Fairview Insurance District. However, the location is not closer to the majority of the Fairview Station 2 and fringe response areas of the Swift Creek Fire Insurance District. Let me remind you, the county staff has indicated that 1,722 parcels in the current Fairview Station 2 response areas are negatively impacted by closing Station 2. That is 78% of the affected area. The word parcel dehumanizes this issue. These are people's lives, their livelihoods, places of learning and worship, and not just parcels that will be affected by the Fire Commission's decision to keep Fairview Station 2 open or closed. By closing Fire Station 2, you are reducing fire response and emergency medical services in a timely manner to the citizens sitting and standing in this room tonight. If we need to do anything, we need to increase fire response capabilities to meet the demand of a rapidly growing county, which will come with the extension of the southern portion of Interstate 540. I implore you to make the right decision and not place the protection services farther away from these citizens currently served by Fire Station 2. President Macer asks that the Fairview Fire Chief and Board of Directors be involved in any future planning needs and discussions that affect the Fairview Fire Department. Mr. Chairman, one last thing before I close. What happens to the career staff that is employed by the Fairview Fire Department that is assigned to Station 2? The Station 2 issue has caused a great deal of concern for all of our career staff. Some are already seeking jobs in other places. please have Director Capisano discuss tonight what happens to our staff if the Fire Commission makes the decision to close Fire Station 2. In closing, I wish to share something that was sent to me by a member of the community and the fire department. We have heard from many that are involved in the fire station closure, formal discussions, and information sessions. This is an emotional subject. It is a business decision, and it's not personal. The citizens of Fairview Community took it upon themselves to personally put forth the work, effort, and monies to start the Fairview Fire Department 55 years ago and to help the citizens of the community when they're experiencing the worst time of their life. A citizen of the Fairview Community took it upon herself personally to offer land to build Fairview Station 2. The citizens of the area personally rely on Fairview to provide them a quick, professional, and efficient service. When a citizen of our fire district calls 911 when they have a fire or medical emergency, it is personal to them. As career and volunteer firefighters, the only reason we would ever do this is out of a personal desire and commitment to serve our community and fellow citizens. So yes, it is personal. A decision to close a municipal station may not be a personal decision, but closing a Fairview Fire Station that was created by the citizens, for the citizens, by the citizens, and staffed a large part by those citizens does affect those citizens personally. Mr. Chairman, I ask that my statements be read into the minutes of tonight's meeting. You do have a copy. There is a copy of my presentation for each of the board members. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, so I'd like to offer Garner an opportunity to make a presentation if they so choose.
Good evening, members of the Fire Commission and citizens of Fairview. I will just take a few minutes and explain what my purpose of speaking tonight is. Let me communicate to you that I know there's nothing that I can say to change your mind from the Fairview community about this process. Your mind is made up and you support your fire department. I commend you on that. My job tonight is not to try to sway you or the Fire Commission. What my job is to provide you clarified information based on some things that I have seen through this process. Our deputy chief came to your community meeting. I apologize for not being able to go. I was out of town at a chief's conference. I hope that he presented the information in a professional manner, the same as I'm here tonight. But I have some concerns about the process that I would not be doing my job as a fire chief if I did not communicate. And some things that I fundamentally disagree with about the campaign of the station closure. It was never Garner's intention to develop a station to become an enemy of Fairview. We have seen growth in the area, and the town has grown to the point where we have to provide municipal level coverages to an area that we can't based on station locations. So that's the original intent of why we're moving into the area. So I've got a couple clarification slides that I'd like to go over. And again, it is not to try to sway you, but there are some concerns that I would like to end tonight. And if we don't all start working together, we're going to rip our communities apart. And that's not what either one of us want to do. The first slide that I'd like to go over is propaganda. Propaganda, by definition, is information, especially of a biased or misleading nature, used to promote or publicize a particular political cause or point of view. There has been propaganda about the Station 5 construction that we have seen. One example is a report that Chief Brinson reviewed or sent last night. And Chief Brinson is a mentor of mine and I respect adamantly. But this picture was submitted to the fire chiefs and the fire commission. And what the depiction is false. This picture is intended to represent the verification that there is an ambulance that resides inside Fairview Station 2. And that's not the case. 364 out of 365 days a year, the Fairview in Station 2 has a reserve unit staged in that bay. I don't disagree with having a reserve unit, and it's not my decision for the ambulance. But my point is, as we're going through these processes, we want to make sure that we're giving the community the right information and accurate information. This picture is not accurate. That ambulance is not housed inside that fire station. There is no program space for paramedics in that station. We, as leaders of the fire service, have got to provide accurate information on both sides. So the rest of my slides is just points of clarification from the fire department's, Garner Fire Department's, points of view. One is Wake County EMS has no program space for ambulance or paramedics in Fairview's current station arrangements. Station 5, the original conception and agreement and discussions with Wake County EMS expressed their needs for program space. We didn't develop that problem, nor did Fairview. But EMS wanted to partner with us about the station because they have no program space in that general area. So the majority of the calls in Fairview are medical by nature. So by putting in an EMS supervisor and ambulance at that station, in hopes was providing a better level of service to your community, not taking anything away from your existing level of service regarding EMS. There's a misconception, and it's been formalized by the Fairview Fire Department, that the town of Fuquay and Fuquay Fire Department are not interested in co-locating it to our Station 5. I have the Fuquay Fire Chief is here, and I'm not sure if any of his town managers here, but I would like to ask him to clarify that for both of our departments. If Fuquay is still in conversations in long-range planning to co-locate our Station 5.
As we have stated in the very beginning, we are interested in this area. The town of Fuquay Marina's area south of 1010, where the town of Fuquay Marina and Garner meets, is a preferred growth area for the town of Fuquay Marina. As you have already seen, and a lot of you have seen, that the town limits is growing just south of 401 and Lake Wheeler Road now. And it is a preferred growth area for us, so therefore we are very much interested in either participating with Garner at, or at some point in time, the town of Fuquay Marina is going to have to build a station up there. Just for the specific growth that's out there, to provide the coverage for the citizens of the town of Fuquay Marina and the county area up there also.
The station's already there.
So my point of clarification is not to enter an argument, just to simply state to you that the Fuquay Fire Department is still interested in co-locating the station. That is my only point.
Ain't their resource.
A point of clarification, there's been a lot of conversations about the intersection of 401 and 1010 and the traffic infringement that occurs at that. There's a point of clarification that Fairview based out of that station too, they currently shop, eat, and even fuel outside of the district, inside both the city limits of Garner and Fuquay. I don't have a problem with that, but there's been accusations that our travel times due to where we train and those things. Well, your Fairview station too enters in to these other municipalities on a daily basis. They cross the intersection that is a topic of contention to shop, eat, and fuel. And so that's just a point of clarification, is that any fire station, any company travels across and through their district to do daily activities. That's normal in the fire service. In your community meeting, there was a point of reference that Assistant Chief Donnie Lindsay made a comment that there have been no conversations in several months about the planning of our fire station. A point of clarification is our Assistant Chief Donnie Lindsay, his roles and responsibilities in our organization is training, safety, logistics, and technical review. He is not involved in the long-range planning or the Station 5 planning process. What was picked from that conversation was that. What was not said was that Chief Lindsay had communicated that if there were any questions, they should be directed towards Chief Poole. Up until this point today, no leadership of the Fairview Fire Department has contacted me regarding this issue. The FY17 budget, the Fairview Fire Department had a budget submittal. And I sit as chairman of the Wake County Budget Committee. I've served on the committee since 2010. So during those budget processes, the Fairview Department submitted a budget request to replace that fire station due to some limitations of it. They also requested a ladder truck in that same budget year to serve as a master string device for the Wake Tech area. This Station 5 answers those questions. So we are developing a new fire station, and we've already ordered a ladder truck to go towards that community. And we've already addressed this comment, but there were some misconceptions about the Super Street. We have worked with NCDOT to address the Super Street U-turn issue. It is documented that upon the construction of the station, the median will be dropped so that we can drive directly out and left to right. It's just a point of clarification as you're going through and we're talking about these issues, that has been addressed. What Director Camisato also addressed tonight that I wanted to point out is the Raleigh Station 12 project. We are less than a mile from that station. So the Raleigh Station 12 closed down. They relocated it almost the exact distance from Fairview Station 2 to Caddy Road. By doing that, the response times of the station that closed, they do go up. But they are still within a reasonable response rate, the same as what Director Camposato said. So my point is a point of clarification that relocating stations is something normal and has happened in this very fire district that we're in right now. They relocated a station approximately 1 mile away, and that increases and decreases response times, but they meet that standard, those percentages that Director Camposato stated. Just a point of clarification of our organizational chart. Our command staff, We have a full-time career command staff that consists of a fire chief. Our deputy chief is over operations. The assistant chief, as I communicated, is safety, logistics, and planning, and we have two administrative assistants, along with a 24-hour-a-day battalion chief. And the last thing I wanted to talk about is leadership. So as I've made this comment, I've heard your disagreements, and I understand that, and I hate that we have come to that point. This is what the Garner Fire Department can tell you. So I follow the International Association of Fire Chiefs strategic plan. And that strategic plan this year says that leadership of the fire service will do three things. And I plan to do that as we work through this. The first thing is lead. I plan this to be a leader through this, through the good, the bad, the indifferent. That I plan to do forward-thinking leadership that recognizes and responds to emergency trends and opportunities. That's why we're here today. I plan to educate. If you have questions about the Garner Fire Department, I ask that you contact us. We have a Citizens Fire Academy that we run in the fall that does an entire complete evaluation of our programs and processes. And I welcome you to look into that program. And then the last thing is to serve. So in the International Association of Fire Chiefs, strategic plan is how we serve. And we want to provide all citizens equal service at an enhanced level. And from day one, that is why we have attempted to build a fire station in that area. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
I can't sit here and say this.
So, point of order again, you had your opportunity to speak. Yes, sir. So, Chief Mendoza has asked for a 5-minute recess, and we'll grant that 5-minute recess. Okay, we'll go ahead and get started back. Before we get started back, I want to take a moment of privilege to say something, because I realize I see the passion. I appreciate the community. I strive every day for my fire department. I represent the Apex Fire Department. I strive every day to be the community's fire department. That's the goal. I want people in my community to ride by any fire truck that we have, ride by it, and my community say, that's my fire truck. That's what I do. It doesn't go on blind eyes or deaf ears that Fairview has achieved that by the outpouring that you have here. So we do see it. I'm sorry for the lack of public comment. If we allow public comment, we'll never get through this meeting. That's just because I value the passion that you have. So we mean it in zero disrespect. There's tremendous respect on every fire chief and every community member that sits on this commission. So I want to make sure that we do express, and I think I can easily speak for everyone on this commission and Wake County Fire Service, we do respect your passion. We do respect your sense of community. We do respect your efforts. So thank you for being here. And if I have upset you by not allowing public comment, I apologize, but that is just to maintain that this will be handled in an orderly, systematic manner, and this is a an issue in front of the commission right now. So thank you. Okay, before we talk about next steps, does anyone have any follow-up questions that we need to address? And we'll talk about those.
This is Satish Gurumela. One of the questions that has been brought to me is the data on the charts that has been put up on the PowerPoint. Do we have the source of it and what date it is, so at least it's more transparent to everyone?
Which data?
The charts that were displayed to us. The census charts and the time response times, and which, out of which year is it?
The bar charts. The
bar charts and those things.
The bar charts were just done since the last July meeting. The census data is based on the last census that the U.S. Census Bureau did. That's updated. Yeah. The response time data
and I don't know if we had that up there, but in the packets is based on 2017 and 2016 data.
Any other questions from the commission? Okay, if we can move the conversation over to next steps. We have a recommendation from Director Camposano from Wake County Fire Services, so I'm going to open it up the floor for anybody with thoughts about next steps. Commissioner Claver.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to make a few comments. First, I wanted to thank everyone who has come out. I think I got an email probably from every one of you. I have, over the past couple of weeks, received tons of emails, voicemails, phone calls. I've met with several of you. I've done my best to respond to most of the voicemails and the emails, and I'm still working through the inbox, so I apologize for that. But thank you all for expressing your thoughts on this. Please know that I've read every single one. And I appreciate y'all's thoughts and the personal stories that you've shared with me. We've heard a lot of arguments, not just at this meeting, but at the last meeting, and also through personal conversations and meetings between the two. We've heard quite a bit about the interest in augmenting our service, in making sure that we are looking ahead, that the towns of Garner and Fuquay Varina and that the county fire service in general are looking ahead and making sure that we are planning while land is more available than it will be in future years. We've also heard a lot of arguments from citizens concerned about response times and the level of service and costs and traffic and the centrality of the fire service, in particular the centrality of Fairview and the great Fairview, and there's certainly no doubt about that, and no doubt about the high quality of service from the Garner Fire Department as well. We've also heard a lot about transparency and making sure that we keep folks in the loop, that folks have an opportunity not only to be informed, but also to provide their opinions. So I would concur with the recommendation made at the very beginning of this meeting that we pause, that we slow this down, that we provide opportunities for community input, and that we provide opportunities for us to analyze this more thoroughly. And I think that includes at least two components. First, I would recommend that we engage in community input processes like the ones that Director Camposano mentioned, including small group meetings, reaching out to homeowners associations and other groups. I want to make sure that our staff hears from citizens and that citizens hear from our staff. I think we have started in a different mode, but I don't think that the good thing about transparency issues is that they're just about always fixable. And I think we have an opportunity to do that. And I want to honor the folks who have highlighted that issue. The second thing I would recommend is that we, as a fire commission, through our committees, provide ourselves opportunities to dig into this further. We have a lot of qualified folks. I know I've talked to a few of you about this as well. But I think the committees of the Fire Commission, and I'll defer to others as to what the appropriate committees would be, will provide a lot of expertise and will add to the 360-degree examination of this proposal. So I would encourage us to do that as well. I would also encourage us to look at this issue as more than a binary issue. There's a tendency for us to get locked into yes or no. Station in one location, station in another location. But my sense from having talked to a lot of you and a lot of other folks is that this need not necessarily be a binary issue, but there are avenues for innovative solutions, for win-win opportunities, and I want to see us, just personally as one member of the Fire Commission, zoom out and really look at the number of different options that we have. So I think there are opportunities here not only for us to have a broader community input process, but to really dig in and potentially find win-win solutions on this. The last thing I'll say is that as a fire commission and as a county, we probably ought to look at comprehensive planning, perhaps by doing another long-range plan, perhaps by some other mechanism, But we are a rapidly changing county. We already talked about how we're growing at 63 people a day. There are going to be changes in the fire service. And the one thing that probably everybody in this room agrees on is that 50 years from now, the Wake County fire system will not look like it does today. It could go one direction, it could go another, but that is a reality. And I want to make sure that we don't drip ourselves in a direction that we haven't planned for, because we weren't looking comprehensively and we weren't looking ahead. And that process would certainly involve not just our fire departments, but our municipalities. I don't think we need to straitjacket ourselves, but I do think we need to try to look ahead and make sure that we have a comprehensive process going forward. So I said a lot, but those would be my recommendations, and I'll certainly defer to others as to their thoughts and comments.
Mr. Chair, if I could add to that and to echo some of what Commissioner Claver has said, is definitely with the long-range plan and planning that, I think this is something that we need to probably turn over to the Ad Hoc Committee, have them vet some things. I think that the whole closure of Fairview Station 2, we could technically say with Director Capistano's recommendation is off the table. I think that's pretty much what the deal is. But what I think we need to look at is the county globally. Where else can we save? And I'm not going to say that the Fairview Station 2 closure might not come back up in talk in committees. It might come up with Fairview Station 2. It might come up New Hope Station 1. There's no telling. But unless we look at it from the whole county's aspect and how we can save money across the county, how we can make things more efficient and more effective, we need to plan and we need to provide. And so I think that, yes, I think this closure concept being pulled off the table, sent to a committee, brought back and discussed further, as Claver said, is we zoom out. Nick said we slow down and we look at it and make a well-informed decision from everybody, not just from us, not just from staff, but chiefs, community, and everybody. And so that would be where we need to go, I think.
So I will add my two cents worth. At the last meeting, whenever this issue was first brought before this commission, I made a statement about the fire tax to maintain status quo service, which is an excellent level of service. Citizens of Fairview, citizens of Wake County, you should be very proud of the service that's provided, the volunteers, the professionals, you know, the ones that get paid. Everybody's professional. We're very fortunate to have the type of people that we employ, that we volunteer, that we lead, that we eat dinner with, those type of things. However, we're almost to a point where we need to look for efficiencies, kind of as we talked about with a long-range plan. Just to maintain status quo involves raising your fire tax, and that means everybody's fire tax that it lives in unincorporated Wick County. And I think as the fire service, and I'm speaking solely to the fire chiefs that are on this commission and the fire chiefs that may be in the audience, it's up to us to come together and realize that, you know, we may need to kick down the walls of our sandbox and understand we all have sand, and it's okay to play together, and it's okay to share resources, and it's okay to do that. Maybe we don't need to duplicate resources quite as often as we may have in the past, things like that. This is not a popular conversation that I'm making right now, just so you know, but I think it's clear that we, as the fire service, need to look additionally at where we can do provide a high level of service or a higher level of service, with always with the taxpayers in mind. Not only we want to provide that service, but we also want to do it in a manner where we're good stewards of funds. So, therefore, I'm in full support of looking at this as a more broad perspective. More than just a single station, I think we need to look at it as a complete study and look at the fire service. And it's going, I will go ahead and say it'll be very difficult for the fire chiefs. We will do that, but you know, it's we've got to let down our guard, to be honest with you. So that's my statement.
Mr. Chairman, just as a point of clarification, since we are in a work session and not in a formal meeting, we've already talked about public comment, but I don't believe we can take a formal vote, but we can certainly provide the consensus of the group to staff and follow up from there.
I
think they gave me a dummy mic, but they probably know me pretty well. I'm Lucius Jones, and I'm from Wendell, and I served as mayor for 14 years, and I never saw a crowd of people like this in Wendell. So I want to congratulate you, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate seeing this many people in Wake County that cares about fire service. I've been coming to these meetings for over 12 years. And Lord, if we get a half a dozen people here other than fire chiefs, we're real lucky. So I'm excited that you're here. I thank you for coming, and I can assure you that this committee, this commission, is going to hear your voices. And we're going to work together to make the fire service in Wake County a more efficient and better fire service in the future. And we welcome your comments. You're always welcome to come to these meetings, and we'd love to have your input. Thank you.
So, since we can't take a formal vote, I would like to recommend that we follow the recommendations of Commissioner Calabria. We slow down, we push back, we put it back to committee. I would suggest it probably should go to administrative committee and then possibly to facilities apparatus, because eventually it will spread to that. But I think that we should discuss the bigger picture as a part of that as well. So this will grow, because there's not a lot of areas that this won't touch if we do look at it from a holistic point of view. Any comments? Okay, so.
If we can just summarize what our plan of action is. We have to prepare.
So
I guess our.
Just so it's clear, so
yeah,
everyone can.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess our plan of action would be taking this proposal to close Fairview Station 2 off the table. Look at the efficiencies and other departments globally at the whole county, send the discussion to the administrative committee, work on a long-range plan, at least a five-year plan that can be reevaluated, and then report back to the fire commission at whatever said date that would be.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
And Mr. Chairman, I would just add that at the appropriate time, and we'll want to be thoughtful about the process by which we embark on this, because if we're going to look at things more intensively or broaden this out to more comprehensive plan, obviously that's going to take a lot more work up front. But at the appropriate time, to engage citizens through small group meetings, notices, and other things. So I just want to make sure we keep that in the hopper. But again, considering the whole body of work that we've got to do, there will be an appropriate time just to make sure that we have indicated that that's something that we want to do.
In addition to that, we also need to include the municipalities to get their planning in all this. We need to see where they're headed, where they're going, and everything else, because that is key, just as this is. Where Garner's headed, where Fequay's headed, where, you know, whoever, that's going to be key, is to look at their planning and their models.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure it's understood that, you know, there's a finite number, a very small number of people that are on the administrative committee. And when you're talking about a plan this large and this encompassing, you're either going to have to give us some strong timelines, or we're going to have a bundle of support within county staff. Because this will not be the solo project that it's going to do. It'll be the priority.
Yes, sir.
But let's keep it realistic.
So I think how I would think that the administrative committee would look at this. We did double the number. That's still not a sufficient amount, because there's going to be multiple resources, multiple points of resources that they'll have to access. So I think as they go, I think the original thing is for the administrative subcommittee to come up with a plan on how we would approach this, a skeleton framework of how we would approach this, and then we would address that with a more formalized plan on what kind of resources we could provide throughout the process.
Mr. Kavitsan, if you go back to the slide of where you talked about that engagement with the citizens, so I think that should come the second, and put it down to the committees first, so that and then so that the citizens are aware that they don't have to come every time this meeting is arranged. So at least it is properly engaged with them before we come. It comes back whenever it is, so that it's, you know, I'm glad to see so many people on a Thursday evening, but they have better things to do too.
As we move towards this, I want to point out that we're only 2 months away from the beginning of budget season, and I believe that we're also going to need better enumerated standards for the cost share departments moving forward. Development's not stopping. If Garner chooses to pursue a station, if Fairview chooses to pursue a station in this area, or whatever other municipality in whatever area, we need very clear standards about what or what not we will or will not cost share in terms of duplication of services or realignment of tax districts, et cetera.
That's an excellent point. Anyone have anything else before we adjourn? Yes, sir.
Yeah, one thing, point of personal privilege. I know that everybody's busted up in here, we've heard that. But one in particular, I would recognize personally that has really hustled a lot. He's worn me out on the telephone quite a bit. But it's Chief Spain. For those that don't know, his brother was seriously injured. And Barry's been going back and forth to South Carolina trying to run the department, going through this, and occasionally calling and harassing me over it. No matter where the chips fall, Chief, you've done an admirable job in this, trying to hold everything together, given the personal problems and pressures you've had. I applaud you a great deal over that, to keep your sanity going through this. Best of luck to Gary. I'll see you next week.
And I would ask, depending upon your religious beliefs, if you could pass up a prayer for Gary, that'd be great. So at that point, we'll end the meeting. Thank you very much. We're adjourned.
I don't know where Tom is. I don't know.